Now presenting the Webcomic Beacon Newscast.
Welcome one and all to the Webcomic Beacon. This is the newscast. This is episode 188, the newscast for May 15th, 2011. I'm your host, Ross Scott of The System. My work can be found, if you dare, at systemcomic.com. With us today, as usual, back from her brief stint, I was trying to think of something silly and couldn't think of anything. back from PenguinCon and fresh off of
Hi, I'm Alex Heberling.
There's Alex.
At Alex's Guide.net.
sure, check that out. Also with us today on the show, the never underspoken, sometimes overspoken,
frequently
F-Con.
Hey, yo, what's up? Representing from Philly, et cetera.
Yeah.
How you doing today?
Phil, whose work can be seen, he is the writer for Gilded Age, which can be found at...
One of the writers. Let's not cut T off here. I am a co-writer.
That's true, but I've learned the lesson that probably wouldn't be smart to have you both on the same show and expect to ever talk.
Not ever again. I'm so sorry.
how do you, the two of you, get anything done?
With a lot of effort, patience, and... sometimes we just say, you know what, fine, you get to have this one, but I get the next one.
All right. Well, that works well enough, I suppose. Okay, so we are going to launch through, as we do every week, a bunch of news articles that are about and around the topic of webcomics as best we can. All the topics that we're going to be talking about today will also be found linked into our post that will go up on the Webcomic Beacon website, which is webcomicbeacon.com. So be sure to go there if you want to follow along or follow up on any of these stories. Now, before we get into news stories, now that people are starting to comment over on the posts, which we encourage you all to do, I'd like to take a quick moment and point out that there has been some discussion happening on the Webcomic Beacon website on last week's post on episode 186, talking about, well, the whole navigation system thing that I brought up last week. There's been some nice talks between Dustin Drez, Zoe Kirk Robinson, and my mom. Yes, Billy. So for those interested, first of all, thanks to them for commenting. There's some interesting stuff on there. And second of all, for those of you that were interested in the topic, be sure to go check it out. Okay, so with that aside, we'll move into some news stories. First of all, we'll start with a... Do you guys hear a horrible buzzing noise?
I do. I was just about to say, what the hell is that?
That might be me.
Yeah.
Can you try muting? And...
There, I got it. I was actually... It's all right. USB port, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Back in we go. All right, so this first article is a quick follow-up to something we discussed last week, which is the current purging on Kindle of all Yaoi-related content. And thank God, Eric of Exern.com, E-X-I-E-R-N, has been doing his research and has scoured YaoiReview.com in order to find more information with what's going on.
I knew we could count on him for that.
I know. I'm sorry, Eric. Anyway, so
true American hero.
So basically, there's a little more of a follow up.
Your paddle's in the mail.
of specific things that have been removed and have been removed. And it looks like Delivery Cupid, Pet on Duty, Pet in Love. These are horrible.
Hyper Loving a Maniac Part 4.
Oh, I love Hyper Loving a Maniac.
Sounds like my last relationship. Hey-o!
Oh, you guys.
I'm the maniac.
Goo-goo. Those are all... A lot of those are actually back online, so it looks like they're kind of reeling back a little bit due to, well, some backlash. Now, all of us here on the show have all at least skim through this article. What were your thoughts?
I wouldn't be surprised if Kindle were rejecting some of these titles based on the title alone.
Yeah.
Like, is this a real book?
Hyper Lovin' a Maniac?
Happy Yowie Yum Yum?
You're kidding. I missed that one. Happy Yowie Yum Yum. Oh my god. That sounds like, that's not like parody.
That sounds like a snack food.
Out of all of these, Peach Boy is the only one I've at least heard of. Couldn't tell you what it's about, besides a boy that's Peach.
Are you thinking of Peach Girl, perhaps? Because that was a popular shoujo manga.
You got me. I got to go hide my stack of shoujo manga now.
Well, for those interested in Yaoi and this topic, be sure to go over to the Yaoi Review, which is apparently a great source for Where Boys Like It Hard. Oh, man.
Oh.
That's a great tagline.
Oh, dearie. Okay, well, we're going to move right on into the next article. A piece of actual...
Great start.
Yeah. Well, I felt like I wanted to like start us off something that we'd already talked about last week. That encourages people to listen to other episodes, which is always a good thing, right? So, okay. So moving on. There's a new collaborative compilation anthology project coming out of the UK right now. This article found via Fleen, and the book is called Nelson, and it's kind of an interesting concept. Instead of just picking a topic and everyone just draws about that topic, this one's out by a group called Blank Slate Books, and the idea is that there's a girl named Nell Baker, who was born in 1968, and the idea is that each creator covers one day from her life of those 43 years to give the reader a snapshot from 1968 to the present day. Now, they have a lot of webcomic artists. Webcomic and print and small press artists all kind of mixed in on here, including Siri Go Round's own and Bad Machinery's own. That guy whose name I can't think of.
John Allison.
John Allison, thank you. Well, I'm looking through this paragraph and like was scanning for it and having no luck. yeah, that was the name that obviously stuck out to me in the list. Were there others that you guys saw that caught your eye?
Roger Langridge. Oh, wow. He's in there? Okay. Now I'm buying it.
So who's Roger Langridge?
He's a really great comics artist. He's not always been a huge part of the, you know, quote-unquote community at all, as we know it. But he's done a lot of great work. Most notably lately, he's been doing these awesome Muppet comics.
Oh, I love the new Muppet comics.
Yeah. He's been doing a lot of those.
Studios ones?
He did this great Fozzie story, and, you know. He also did this comic. I don't remember what it was called, but it was about a clown, and it was really – he's just a really, really good cartoonist. So the combination of him and John Allison has me excited.
Well, the proceeds from this book go to Shelter, which is the housing and homelessness charity over in the UK. So,
oh, word. It's for charity too.
Yeah, it says the artist, publisher, and distributors have agreed to donate their profits from the first edition of Nelson to Shelter. So there you go.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Classy bunch.
At first, I didn't look closely at this. I thought maybe Nell Baker was a real person that they were basing this on, but
that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be, but
okay.
It's still cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well, also kind of a pseudo follow up to something we talked about last week and in previous episodes is an article called "Cup Size Is Not Characterization." Why
reach it.
Books are confused about having women in comics. So this article comes to us via womeninincomics.blogspot.com, which links to a place that does not sound real, articleforwealth.com.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I don't know what this article is doing here, but...
I'll just go with it, by a guy named Matt Clifford. So, Alex, you have boobs. Would you like to start...
I am indeed a woman.
I have boobs also, Ross. Don't exclude me.
That's completely...
I have a uterus. There's a difference.
All right, well, look who's Mrs. Fancy I Have a Uterus, then.
I do have a very fancy uterus.
It's got, all the bells and whistles.
Very fancy. Curly cues everywhere.
Whoa.
I don't know. Please, anyways. Talk to Alex.
Tell us of your uterus.
Doesn't listen to the podcast. Yeah, anyway, this article is just saying what I've been talking, you know, what many people other than me as well have been talking about. You need to rate people first, and gender is honestly pretty incidental to most origin stories, as they say about Catwoman at the end of the article, which is, you know, awesome.
Well, they say, right, and basically what they're saying in this article, just put it out there, is that guys just never quite learn how to write women, and that as 53% of the population, that's kind of a problem. And so they because they've never quite learned, they in every classic musical, and one of the first three songs belongs to the heroine. She comes downstairs, often sits on a convenient platter or bale of hay, and sings about what she wants from her life, and the audience falls in love with her, and they spend the next three acts rooting for her to get to it. You know, and well, they go through a lot of interesting stuff through there. I don't know if it's, I mean, what do you guys think it is that makes women hard to write for men or whatever? Do you think, Alex, do you find men hard to write?
Not particularly.
I think the reason that men often find women hard to write, as it were, is because we have so few good examples of it in fiction. And comparatively to men in general. I mean, there's just not as many great examples of, you know, female characters in literary history as there are male. It's like and also in fiction writing, and at least in American media, it seems, or American media, probably all media, whenever a character is conceived, somehow male is the default.
Right.
And, you know, there's no default, you know? You're born a certain way, people are a certain way, and it's, I don't know, I'm personally of the mind that circumstances of, you know, upbringing dictate who you are, you know, nurture versus nature, I guess, but it's like, I don't know. The problem is a lot of these men who have the poor ability to write female characters is not necessarily that they don't understand, and more so the point that they just don't even try. That's the problem. They just don't try.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even if they put in some effort, it would at least be – if they put in some effort and they did a bad job, it would at least be forgivable. Well, you know, at least they friggin' tried, right?
I don't know. I've never worried too much about writing women. I mean, drawing women I have a problem with. I will flat out admit that, because I am so concerned with getting – like women looking right, you know, that.
But what is right? That also implies there's a default in the human body.
Well, you know, in terms of
Ross.
I guess if I make a dude look.
Why are you being all sizist up in here?
Yeah, dude. You're outnumbered 4-1 here.
I can't count. What? Well. I don't know. I don't think it is hard to write for women. And I think what you were saying about how it just is a default, I think that needs to start being an approach with characters is, does it matter? I think there is a case to be said for, you know, does it matter if they're male or female? You know, like there could be characters that could be completely fleshed out and then, oh, they happen to be female, you know? Like, why does that, it doesn't always have to be like a default thing either way.
It does not.
Exactly. That's why you have to start with that when you're creating a character. You can't just, you know, stick boobs on it and say, oh, it's a love interest and she's wants babies.
Right.
She wants the babies.
All right. Well, three good examples of female characters for people to read, look at, appreciate.
Ellen fucking Ripley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's one.
I'm trying to think of a really good one.
Yeah, I know. I feel kind of...
Condoms short, actually. I think that's part of the problem, too.
Oh, well...
So few come immediately to mind.
The bride.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
Kill Bill? Yeah?
I think she's awesome.
I mean, she has autonomy. She has her own desires and, you know, goals.
Well, the thing about Kill Bill is you could say that it's like a very static character, but every character in there is a static character, so... it's not so much that they're stereotyping her as they're stereotyping everything. Okay, well, we'll move on to the next article because we still got plenty to go through. Okay, so this next article comes to us via GigaOM. It's a pretty long PDF. Hopefully you guys had a chance to at least skim through it. It's from the Columbia Journalism School, the Tau Center for Digital Journalism, and it's called "The Story So Far: What We Know About the Business of Digital Journalism." What does this have to do with webcomics? Well, talking about the kind of business models that are behind journalism, you know, online, print versus online, and that whole kind of jazz. There's some obvious similarities to be made between that and comics and comics. Well, comics in general. So they go through some interesting hopes for how everyone was hoping this would turn out. And to be honest, not quite meeting them is a pretty good problem. Well, pretty overall problem. Chapter 2 is The Trouble with Traffic, Why Big Audiences Aren't Always Profitable, where they talk about a problem that I think we've all seen, which is, I have all these readers, why aren't I making money? Hmm. right?
Yeah, pretty much everything, every chapter header in this so far, I'm like, oh, yeah, I've seen things about that and that.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, if these people can't make money with millions of viewers a day, how am I supposed to make money with thousands? You know.
Well, the fact of the matter is that a lot of people starting over. There's no one way to do it. Every property, especially on this giant, you know, web of chaos we call the internet, every property is going to have its own, you know, best revenue stream. A comic like Explosum or Slide Night and Happiness, if you want to call it by its true name.
Mm-hmm.
They get a lot of ad revenue from traffic because people come again and again and again and refer people, and they just get, you know, tons of people coming in. There's ad revenue.
Right.
For our property, Gilded Age, the most success we've had in money making so far, honestly, was cold selling our book at conventions.
Right.
Just telling people, here's what our story is about. Read this, please. Buy it if you like it. And a lot of people did. So – you know, you can, people might believe that you can't continue using traditional ways. It's not that you can't continue using traditional ways. They might not serve you best on an online market, but, you know, there's any number of possibilities to do it. Unfortunately, there's no set standard, but that's also part of the greatness, I guess.
Right. And they also talk in this article about hyper-local and niche. Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, a really interesting point because I've definitely seen, from a readership perspective, people like niche comics. And they're harder to find, but once they find that audience, it's like hitting a oil vein. I mean, I read one you guys probably have never heard of called Yehuda Moon and the Kickstand Cyclery. You guys ever heard of it? Probably not, right?
Is that a biking comic?
Yeah, it's all about cycling. totally, like, cute little, you know, not particularly offensive, not the, like, most groundbreaking thing, but fun, cool, well-drawn, you know, daily updates, like, happy little stories kind of thing. But it has more comments on every single post. It has, like, 400 comments every post.
Wow.
And...
Wow.
And because they're that focused, they can get advertising that's focused to cyclists and get a lot more off of that. I have a friend that does a food blog, and his food blog has way less traffic than my comic, but but he makes way more on advertising because it's a more niche audience of people that read food blogs. So you can market to them all this like gourmet food stuff and be a lot more effective than, you know, the kind of general ad stuff that, that goes on my site.
Mm.
So there is really a great, I mean, that part really stuck out at me from this 100-page thing.
Mm-hmm.
Massive tome.
It is quite the tome. Were there any other bits or tidbits that you guys wanted to discuss? Because clearly we could talk about it all day.
Nope.
Apparently not. Sorry, my voice just caught a little bit.
It happens. All right. Well, there are some really interesting points. And for those that are interested in checking it out, be sure to follow the link over at thewebcockbeacon.com from today's news post. So with that, we will move on. This article via GigaOM talks about why online tip jar style payment systems don't work. Or why it's apparently a flawed concept. Now, they start talking about Flatter, which is spelled stupidly.
Goddamn.
And then go into just kind of the tip jar system in general, talking about commerce and why tip jars aren't that effective. Now, have any of you guys used tip jars on your websites?
I have not. I'm of the mind that I'd rather they spend money on product. Because I don't know, it depends on you. Again, it depends on the project and it depends on the property, but sometimes having a tip jar can discourage, the purchase of other products that you're offering because they'll say, oh, I don't actually want anything, but I want to hand them a few bucks. Here's five. But if, you know, the way you say, here, how you support me is buying my book, and then they'll say, okay, here's 20.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it can hurt your it can hurt the movement of other products, but you know, let's not forget the legendary donation drives of Michael Terracciano, aka Mookie, and RK Milholland from Something Positive and Dominic Deegan, who managed to launch their careers by saying, look, if you pay me a year's salary, I will do only this comic, and it worked for them.
Yeah, well.
So, it's subjective.
Those are kind of special cases.
Yeah. But, I mean, that demonstrates the power of the tip jar as a concept.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, it can detract from your other product. So it depends on what works for you, again.
Well, are you guys familiar with the Maximum Fun network of podcasts? Max Fun, as it's known. They do Judge John Hodgman and Jordan Jesse Go and The Sound of Young America and a few others. They started doing a PBS-style subscription telethon kind of thing each year where they ask people to subscribe $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever, at a monthly rate because one payment, isn't going to change anything. But if you get people to subscribe, then they'll stick around. That's a semi-guaranteed income from month to month versus having to – when you do a shirt or something, it's like, okay, they bought the one shirt. Now they're gone. You know, they might never give you money again and feel like they support.
Unless you offer them another shirt.
Right. But how many shirts is someone always going to buy? But if you get them.
Ask Jeff Jacks.
If you get them $2, if you get them $2.
He has an army of hipsters. I think that's a little different.
I guess the question is, would you rather have $20 from someone once or $5 a month from them for 3 years?
Oh, absolutely. The latter.
Right. You know, if you do that kind of over time, it's less of a we see it all the time with apps. You know, people are willing to drop a dollar here, a dollar there a lot, whereas they might not ever spend a $5 somewhere. So that same kind of system can be applied. Now, the big thing this article talks about is that people aren't really used to using tip systems online. But do you think that people have gotten a lot more used to online payment and online tipping and might be more used to the idea of online subscription and tipping in that kind of like process than they used to? Did that make sense?
I'm just letting Alex go for once.
Alex! Alex, go.
Actually, I was like looking on Flatter because I had a Flatter button for my comics, but then I ran out of funds. But then they released it so that you don't have to pay for things to actually get flattered. So I was going to put my butt back on the site.
Someone just flattered me on one of my Twitter accounts the other day, but I didn't know what to do with it.
Nice. I haven't gotten any flatters yet.
I got one. I mean, I don't even know what that does.
Like, I've never even heard of flatter. What? This is the first I've heard of it.
Well, I'm not sure it necessarily needs to be something we've heard of, so. I don't know. Anything that's spelled not the way, like words that are spelled like Flickr, where they missed letters because they missed the E in flatter, like.
Well, Ross, they wouldn't have been able to get flatter.com.
I know. I'm just kind of sick of that stuff.
And Tumblr.
Call me crazy. Oh, and Tumblr. Tumblr.
Well, Tumblr. That's the problem with the.
Tumblr kept passed because it gave me Kim Jong-il looking at things.
No, the best Tumblr I found recently is my mom watches Game of Thrones.
What?
It's the funniest Tumblr I've seen in a minute. It's this person just keeps fielding these questions to their mother who is watching Game of Thrones and, you know, is not a typical fantasy fan. But so it also has kind of a loose memory about character names and concepts. So go to my mom. My mom watches Game of Thrones. That Tumblr, and you'll get some comedy.
Because this has a lot to do with webcomics.
No, I'm sorry. We were talking about Tumblr. I just thought of it. Sorry.
No, it's fine. this is ridiculous.
I forget what the question was. What was the question again?
The dropping off the letters and the URLs and yeah, why it's lame.
I think it's done.
No. I mean the real question, guys. God, you're close.
We were talking about online tip jars.
Online tip jars.
Whether something like this is ever going to take off or become common because people have gotten used to paying for things online.
We're almost there. When we make the digital transactions even more convenient, even more seamless, it'll help us out a lot more.
Well, people are starting to subscribe to like Netflix Instant and Hulu and stuff like that. So there is a lot more subscription-based, service-based stuff happening. Like, you know, like the first step with online purchasing was I purchased a thing online, it shows up in real life. But now, or what?
No, it's just funny the way you put that.
And it's true. And that, but now that we have a lot more, I purchased a thing online, it's I purchased, and that purchased something online, you know, access to websites or whatever. Now some people have been doing this for years, but the overall gigantic large audience hasn't quite done that. And this is gets back to the newspaper thing because, paywalls are a big problem for newspapers right now. New York Times is having a lot of trouble deciding what it's going to do with itself.
I kind of can't believe that the New York Times couldn't make enough money just on advertising. It's the New York Times.
Yeah, but the thing is they have to support all of the New York Times.
Yeah, I guess.
And that takes a lot of
Have you seen how thick that newspaper is on Sundays, man?
Well, that's their problem. They should stop making the newspaper.
Well. Anyway. Quick note. My tabs got out of order and it threw me off.
What's going on?
A quick note about from GigaOM again as well about the danger of playing in Apple's walled garden. So I don't know if you guys heard the news. iFlow was a app that was made specifically for the iPhone, iPad, iOS audience. Let you buy books through it. It was an ebook reading kind of thing. And they just decided to change the terms of services on them. And it says, quote, Apple is giving us the boot by making it financially impossible for us to survive. They want all the ebook business on iOS. And since they have the unilateral power to get it, we are out of business and the iFlow reader is dead. We put our faith in Apple and they screwed us.
I can see what their first mistake was.
Yeah.
Ew.
Ew. That's my new tagline whenever Phil Cox.
Whenever you pull out a zinger.
Yeah. All right.
Isn't this what Android is for, honestly?
Zoom. Yeah, I mean, well, honestly, it's like, you know, it's the closed system market, and it's got its advantages and it's got its disadvantages.
Apple won't have their tight grip on it for too much longer. You know, as the technology continues to develop, the development is going to continue to develop, and it's going to become more open. It's going to lean more towards Android because, let's face it, you know, there's nothing strangling Android. There's nothing keeping it from performing.
Cool.
So you know, Microsoft got, you know, what, 60% of the PC market or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We could rant on Apple for a long time. Yeah, I think
we'll just move right along. So, a new comic/game hybrid app has come out. This article via the webcomic Overlook, which I'd never heard of, but based on their header having a luchador in it, I'm on board.
Oh, they reviewed Gilded Age once. I like them.
Oh, they liked it. So therefore, you're good. Nice. So they have what's the name of this? Is this Final Fantasy? Final Fantasy. No, wait. That's the other thing they made is
Imaginary Range.
Imaginary Range. There it is. Which is part comic book, part video game. I kind of have to see it and play it to really know, you know, what it's
going to
be.
Seems like it's a comic with little mini games burst into it.
Yeah.
That seems neat.
Eh. I don't know. I'm not one of these, like, I don't want my peanut butter and my chocolate sometimes. Sometimes I just want peanut butter.
Do you hate Reese's, man?
No, I actually love Reese's, but...
There you go. I rest my case. Reese's? I win.
Did you call it Reese's?
Wait, what? Yeah, Reese's. What do you call it?
It's Reese's.
Whatever.
It's got a long E on the end.
It's Reese's Pieces, man.
No, that's not a thing.
Sometimes in Ohio, we call them Reese. But that's because Ohio has lots of hicks.
Okay.
Yeah, I come from Maryland.
Let's go on to graphic storytelling, which comes from a guy named Craig P. Russell. P. Craig Russell, sorry. He posted two videos all about graphic storytelling. Do you guys have a chance to watch either and or both of these?
Yep.
Be honest. Okay.
No, Alex. Man. Alex, go, please.
Alex.
I'm the only one who did my homework today.
I did my homework. What?
But you're like the
I'm
teacher,
the host,
so
and I'm supposed to defer to people.
Hmm.
Yes. So he goes over the design of two title pages from two different comic issues. One is called something or other. I can't remember. But the second one is called Sally Mae, which is a... It's a thing. And, you know, he goes through, you know, his artistic choices in each panel and like, the title panel that goes across the top and everything and how the, you know, the pages sort of balance, you know, with black and white and all that kind of stuff. It's very, very, very interesting. And,
yeah. I remember the first person that tried to explain to me this kind of stuff from, like a flow standpoint. He was the first person... it's this guy Nate Beeler, and he was the first person that said to me, "Why are they walking to the left when we're reading to the right? Why don't they walk to the right? And, you know, why don't we have some, you know, instead of backgrounds just match up wherever? Why don't we try and match them up a little bit? That'll help add to the flow of the story and balancing black and white in the image and all that kind of jazz." And you know, I'm amazed how much. That's like the subtle detail stuff, but when you can get to the point that you're worrying about that kind of stuff, you're doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's this kind of stuff that, you know, reminds me that, you know, about 90% of my knowledge in comics is self-taught and you never really stop learning. And
yep.
I still have a lot to learn about this kind of thing.
Yeah, so
and I've been doing it for 6 years, you know.
So go check out these videos. They'll be up in the newscast post. Okay, on to an article found via Scott McCloud on UC and UX design. Now, this is all me. I got this one. Go for it, you guys.
Fly, be free.
So UX is this idea of user experience, which is basically like saying design From a sense of, man, I was so certain I was going to just plow through this and then totally flubbed. It's this idea of when you're producing a website to get to, you know, think through not the elements, not just as visual elements, but also as physical elements, and helping not just to design something, but to actually think through what the user's experience is going to be like that you're creating for them. And so the idea of this article is it takes the ideas of understanding comics that talks about the realistic versus the iconic and simplistic, and balances them, the icons, and talks about how you need to find the right balance when creating icons and images and buttons even for your website. So you don't want to go too simple and have something that you can't tell is a button, and you don't want to go so complex that it tells too much about like the physicalness of that button. You want to find like a nice in between. And they talk about this for, you know, a lot of icon button type places. But it, what I really liked about this article, and I've seen this a fair amount of times, is that it gets into the idea of things taught in understanding comics being applied to graphic design, which is something that I couldn't agree more about, since, you know, it's kind of my
thing. There's a lot of overlap.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you can even go the other way, too. And there's a lot of things I've learned in design about composition and style and concept that apply just as easily to comics. So, you know.
It's almost like you're saying that all visual arts are sort of interrelated.
Jeez. Oh, my God. We've cracked the code, gentlemen.
So anyway, go check it out. It's an interesting little article.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, so my man Carter wants to be added to the show. Let's see if I can add him in.
We're live.
Let's see. Add people to the conversation.
Begin add person protocols. Beep,
boop. I don't think new Skype lets me do this in the way that it used to. Sorry, this is not sexy podcast time. This is.
Oh no, there's a button you push.
Add people. Oh wait,
oh, some wait. Shit.
There it is. Add.
We're professionals, everybody.
There we go.
Oh, there's a new name in the window now.
Ba boom.
Hello.
Hey, Carter.
Hey guys,
hey,
can you hear?
Carter.
Awesome.
It,
well,
is the mic too loud?
No,
you're fine.
Excellent.
Okay, so Carter,
I can hear your beautiful man voice.
Yeah.
Thank
so,
you.
I
worked very hard on it.
It's kind of in the middle of the show, but real quick. So Carter is the writer behind Crooked Gremlins, which can be found at crookedgremlins.com.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. I'm never sure if it's .com or .net. It's .com.
It's dot com.
Anyway, that's exactly what I was thinking about. So we're about to get to the tidbits section. Actually, no, we're on graphics versus aesthetics. This wonderful video via The Escapist, which is pretty much a tirade about people misusing terminology. Did you guys get a chance to watch this video? Anyone?
Yeah, it's
nope.
Really awesome.
Well, I did, and it was hilarious. Basically, the argument being that there's a big difference between the aesthetic choices you're trying to make and the actual graphic implementation of visual objects in a game. But, you know, same can be said for webcomics. So, there you go.
Totes.
Funny video. Go check it out. So, on to the next as we try and move things along. A few little tidbits. There is a cool animation based on the comic Mouse Guard, which is overhosted at DeviantArt and was linked via Bleeding Cool. We'll link to that. It was cool. In agreement? Yes.
Gorgeous.
Awesome. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Much better than my XKCD fan animation I did.
You did a fan animation?
When I was in a computer modeling class. Yes, I did.
Are people sure no longer calling them fanimations?
We can call them whatever we want.
I was about to ask if it was... If it could be Fanimation.
Didn't they do the real ghost, the not real Ghostbusters? Wasn't that name?
What?
With the monkey? You don't remember the Ghostbusters show that wasn't
with the gorilla? Oh my god!
Wasn't that animation?
I remember. That scarred me.
Why? It was awesome and horrible.
There was that like in the intro or whatever where they go down that tube and there's all those trippy colors and lights and yep. It's just like that tunnel in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Freaked me out, man.
You know, if you look up Fanimation, the first thing that comes up is a ceiling fan.
I love it.
I have to go look now.
That is true.
I'm told it is the one complete revolution in ceiling fans.
Oh. Everybody take a drink.
Oh. Goosh. Okay, moving on.
It's a little South American. I don't know. It feels like a strong marketing phrase, but whatever.
Damn. Carter, you come in, you just drop the bomb. I like it.
Yes.
I'm a big fan.
That's exactly what I did.
Okay. Some slightly unfortunate news comes to us via Bleeding Cool, which is that Ron Peraza, formerly lead of the Zooted Comics movement for DC Comics, and then in charge of their entire online division after Zooted kind of folded, which a lot of people thought would be a good thing because, okay, they took this guy, they gave him this opportunity, now they're trying to close it down and then expand it. But it turned out that hasn't worked out so well, and Ron has unfortunately left DC for brighter pastures. So he's off of DC entirely after really trying hard to make Zooted work. Now, I know a lot of people have had a lot of mean things to say about Zooted over the years, and it's kind of gone back and forth. But the dude was trying, and he was trying hard to make it a success. I can't fault the guy.
It's clear from his resignation that things did not go as he had hoped.
Yeah. And, you know,
I guess he was going to go to the other coast with the rest of the staff, but then just was like, no, we're not doing that.
Yep. And, you know, I mean, I met the guy one time when I went to this thing on the future of digital comics kind of talk at South by Southwest, and he was one of the speakers, and you know, I asked him all the tough questions that everyone asks always about Zooted, you know, like why the hell is it in Flash and all this kind of stuff, and he gets it. He really did get it. He knew what was, you know, he saw the problems for what they were, and he was working on it. The thing is, when you work for a group that is as big and complex as DC, you can't just say, oh, well, this should be this other way and just change it. There's so much that needs to go through. And I get the feeling that after a bunch of time, he either lost the fight or decided to stop fighting it.
You know? I mean, it's really nice to see that corporations maintain the longstanding tradition of not allowing people that do things to make the decisions about those things that they do.
Well, we don't really know that much about the behind-the-scenes story of it.
I'm assuming.
Well...
If it makes an ass out of you and me, so be it.
Okay. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. We will see you all on the other side. Stay tuned for this important message.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. And don't forget, we broadcast live on Sundays at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room, have news reports or Becky art, transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Questions? Dial our voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. And now, back to our show.
What is Zooted?
Dude.
That's why I was quiet throughout that entire segment. I have nothing to add. I don't even know what you guys are talking
about. You know what? That's exactly it. That's what Zooted is.
Okay, well. Okay, so there was this thing started up two, 3 years ago, four. years ago. It was DC trying to do like an online comic slash contest. So artists would submit their stuff to Zuda. Zuda would post it, and then whatever got the most votes on Zuda got published into a comic. And it was all online, and it used the Flash interface, which is really wonky. I know.
Because they didn't want anybody downloading the images.
I mean, that combines like three just horrible things, which is, I guess, sort of like essentially like a speculative design competition, one.
Right.
Two is crowdsourcing, which is I strongly do not believe in. And then three is Flash. Right. So that's just three ideas that – but maybe that's why I never heard of it.
They were trying to just do like America's Next Top Webcomic basically, and no one cared.
Yeah, well, really. Yeah, because who gives a shit who can get the most votes from a web – from like a web, you know, survey or whatever.
At least
a Next Top Model of American Idol, I assume these shows are all sort of the same. There's a panel of judges, but you know who the judges are, and you can look at the things that they've judged in the past. Like when it's just, you know, the applause meter or whatever, who gives a shit?
Yeah, really. It's like if they had, you know, Grant Morrison, Kyle Baker, and geez, I don't know, Gail Simone as like three judges for Zuda, that they could have found something really amazing, I bet.
Okay, we're gonna go back into it then, guys. So okay, here we go. Okay, welcome back, one and all, to the Webcomic Beacon. We are picking right back up where we left off. For you guys, it's been mere seconds. For us, it's been years waiting to get back into this. So we'll move on to the next article. Found via thepunksite.com. A group called Paper and Plastic has put out a series of free comics in honor of Free Comic Book Day, which caught my attention simply because it mentions Less Than Jake. I'll be honest. So you can go to paperandplastic.com, plastic spelled with a CK. And, I'm trying to find, I found this before. Where the hell is the damn comic? Losing it. You can go to, grahamcrackers.com. There you go. And find the free comic that's about Paper and Plastic. There you go. That's how that actually went down.
Wait, what's Paper and Plastic?
It's a band.
What?
Kinds of bags.
Yeah. That's why it gets interesting.
Are you saying the band are kind of bags?
Okay, I'm just going to read it verbatim. Here you go. Paper and Plastic have announced the free download of Webcomic 50 States for Free Comic Book Day. The first issues of Kill the Wonderhawks and Exit Interview will be available later in the month. Also, in celebration of this day, comic creators Dave Lasso and Matt Anderson will be signing together at Grand Crackers Comics. That's where I got that from. In Chicago, on Free Comic Book Day, which is tomorrow, May 7th. Clearly, it wasn't tomorrow. 50 States tells the story of three different bands on tour. Paper and Plastic founder Vinny Fiorello describes the Less Than Jake story. Now I see what's going on. Okay. Clearly, my reading skills are sucky. The Less Than Jake story is too true. We were trying to get away from typical tour story you'd hear. We'd been in touch with about a dozen bands and picking the stories on the depth they have. Paper and Plastic plan to release an issue of each series every month. Physical copies in the form of graphic novels will be available in the future. You can download the comics at the Paper and Plastic web store, store.paperandplastic, spelled I-C-K, .com. Anyway, it looks to be a pretty cool story. I checked it out before, and all you have to do to download it is to try and share it. So if you tweet out a link to it or you share it on Facebook, then you can download it for free.
Interesting. Interesting wall.
Yep. Well, you know, it's free if you just do this one thing. Didn't seem so bad.
Yeah.
Considering all the other ways they could have done that.
Small price to pay.
Small price to pay. Now, have any of you guys seen Thor?
Yes, that I did see before the show.
Yeah, pretty epic. Thanks, we
had a lot of spoilers. Oh darn! I should have gone to see Thor before the show.
An article on on Marvel's website that we found via Bleeding Cool mentions a free Thor digital comic sponsored by Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper. Now, I got to say, after I saw the movie, a bunch of people said to me, oh, didn't you notice all the Dr. Pepper references? And I really didn't.
I didn't see a single one.
Yeah, but everyone else kept telling me that they were everywhere. I don't know. But anyway, here's a Thor comic featuring Dr. Pepper. You're sponsored by Dr. Pepper. And I love the image right in the top of Marvel's website that really just has Thor and the Dr. Pepper logo, and his cape totally matches the logo, which is kind of great.
Let's cut out the middleman. Make the head of Mjolnir just one big can of Dr. Pepper.
Oh,
my God.
Oh.
When you click to go read the digital comic, which is in Flash, and Carter, it's in Flash.
I can't see it. I don't have Flash on my
machine.
Does
it have a pop-out interface as well?
No, it doesn't, but it is. It does have all the like extra super techiness that you expect from Flash.
Ooh, it's Webternet comics, guys.
I can see the association, though, between Thor and Dr. Pepper. Both were made or questionable taste.
Oh!
Ayo!
King! Okay. And I love it. It's called the comic itself.
Sorry.
But then you go to the site to go read it, and it's called Thor Quest for the Can. And there's a giant Thor next to a giant Dr. Pepper can. And yeah, it's almost like Phil Kahn wrote it.
Wait, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, because of the can, like the giant can that kind of matches his hammer.
Why didn't they make the top of his hammer a can?
Why don't they just make Thor hold a can of Dr. Pepper holding the owner?
All right.
So this is a crime. I don't know of any other way to think of it.
Well, thank God Thor was there to save Sif, right?
Okay, a few other quick things of note. Warren Ellis, whose webcomic Freak Angels is awesome, has a official exhibition of a lot of the artwork from it over in London, just off Leicester Square at Orbital Comics. And there's a bunch of images up from that for any Free Casual fans out there, found via Bleeding Cool. Also, the Russ Manning Award has a call for submissions. So any of those interested in ConCon International, the Russ Manning Promising Newcomer Award is looking for submissions to, quote, a comics artist who early in his or her career shows a superior knowledge and ability in the art of creating comics. Past winners include Steve Rude, Scott McCloud, and Jeff Smith. I think all of us would qualify, so someone should nominate me.
Can you nominate and vote for yourself?
This is America, right?
This is America. To qualify, you must be a newcomer in the field with no professional work published prior to January 2009. Exceptions to the rule are if the work was done unaccredited, fanzine publications, small press or a print run of 2000 or less, or one shot in a new talent anthology. Anyway, so I think we're all good.
Yeah, that doesn't mention webcomics at all.
Yeah, not at all. So I think we're all good. So
because that's not really publishing, I guess, is the way they feel about it.
Exactly.
No, it's not.
It's not real. No.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Also, of quick note, Frank Miller apparently drew a Hostess Fruit Pie comic advertisement, which is just amazing in itself because it's Frank Miller. Go check that out on Bleeding Cool and IO. Found via Bleeding Cool and on IO9. And just because we like to put funny stuff at the end of the show, a My Little Pony Watchmen mashup video.
All right, this one I did watch. You couldn't not turn down that description.
Horse.
Horse.
The decision to cast Pinkie Pie as as Rorschach was brilliant. Great. So, kudos.
What? See, I don't know My Little Pony well enough to know.
See, I've been watching. I've been watching the new cartoon. So,
is it good?
I watched the first couple.
I hear it's good, and I don't understand.
It is good.
That.
It's really good. No, it's really good. It's like one of the first kids shows to come out in a while that it doesn't, you know, dumb down. It doesn't
dumb down Rainbow Ponyland.
Even if you don't want to watch the whole series, you should watch the two parter that starts the series.
Why? Yeah.
Because you will be surprised at how good it is.
Yeah.
It's just quality. It's not like it's, breaking ground necessarily, but it's just sheer quality. It's, if I had kids, I would almost make them watch it because they'd be learning good things and they'd be looking at good art and they'd be looking at, you know, something that they can actually.
Good acting and good characterization.
Funny jokes.
It's by Lauren Faust. Well, she developed the new series. Lauren Faust, who's married to Craig McCracken.
Oh, okay. You got my attention. Now all of these are. Is every person in this world a girl? Because they all look like.
No, they're boy ponies too.
They're boy ponies. Okay.
There's a few. Yeah. And there's a boy dragon.
I saw the dragon.
And there's Spike and yeah.
All right.
Spike's always been a part of it, I guess.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
It's just really cute and charming and funny. A lot of people are into it. I watched the first couple and I couldn't keep going, but I really appreciate that it exists, I gotta say.
Yeah, and I started drawing ponies at conventions, so.
Yeah, people love it.
People love ponies, especially when they're drunk.
I mentioned, I missed a quick note on the Frank Miller Hostess Ice commercial advertisement, which is that the character that he created, which was supposed to be Iceman, but there was already an Iceman, so they changed it to the Ice Master, has now become canon.
No.
Congratulations to him. Thanks, Eric, for the point. okay, so those are our articles for this week. We invite all of you to send articles to us to cover here on the show. You can find our info over at webcomicbeacon.com or just send us an email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com for any tips, comments, suggestions, questions, quements, what have you. Also, please feel free. Quements. Yeah, you don't know question. Quements, they're a question and a comment. It's a quement.
Stop that.
No.
Clearly, I'm the only one that listens to this podcast. Anyway, so you can also leave comments over at the Webcomic Beacon website on the post for this show, and we hope you do. So with that, I'd like to thank all of our panelists for joining us today. With us today has been Alex. Hey, Alex. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Check her stuff out at alexisguide.net, where she may or may not be drawing ponies. Any ponies?
Not this week.
All right.
Soon.
The never underspoken Phil Kahn of age.net. Thanks for being on the show, Phil.
Pleasure as always, Russ.
And a late addition, but by no means least, Carter of Crooked Gremlins. Thanks for being here, Carter. You're going to stick around for the other thing, so don't worry about that.
Okay. I was just going to mention that we promise at Crooked Gremlins to be largely pony free for the foreseeable future.
Didn't you?
Don't go losing readers on purpose.
Now, Carter, remind me what exactly the machine built out of the mall shop did.
It raped sheep.
Okay, it was a sheep raping device. Okay,
well, it was just multifunctional. Was the, but yeah,
right, mostly sheep raping. Okay, because it kind of looked like a pony.
No, it was more of a dog.
Oh, well, you know, such is life.
All right. Okay. Well, we know what to go to your comic for then.
Yep. yes. So be sure to check that out, or not. And of course, making everything work behind the scenes has been Fess recording everything and making it all come together. You can check out his stuff at psiwebcomic.com and finding all of our articles for each show. And you can take it up with him if you don't like them. Is Eric of Exern, which can be found at exiern.com. Does that mean we all have to take a drink? Because I had to spell out how to spell Exern. Isn't that part of the drinking game? Okay, cool. Just checking. All right, so this has been yet another episode of the Webcomic Beacon. We hope you've enjoyed the newscast, and we will see you all next week. stay tuned for those listening live, because there is another show coming up right after this here on the Webcomic Beacon Network. I've been your host, Ross Scott. I hope you've enjoyed the show. And with that, I end our show by saying, as always, peanut butter and jelly. Have a great week. We're out.
Have another drink.